Thank you, Rick, for taking care of the singing, or the leading. You guys took care of the singing. I told my Sunday school class this morning that I had never been so excited as I was coming into today. And you know why? Because it was going to be 30 degrees. And I had never been so excited about 30 little degrees as I had going into today. So we're going to talk tonight about some simple choices. And I got the carpet moving all over up here. And see if I can get this working. So simple choices. And we're going to take a look at a piece of scripture that I think everybody is very familiar with. And yet we're not going to talk about what people tend to talk about out of this passage. But before we get into that, I do have some opening questions. So this is for you. So the first question is this. Possibly. There we go. And if you can't read it, that's kind of small, but how many of you have ever been asked to do something and you did nothing? You said, nope, I'm going to pass. Or maybe you said, I don't even like that. I'm going to do exactly the opposite. Anybody? Any liars in the building? Yeah, I think we've all kind of. Here's the second question. How many of you have ever got a second chance at an opportunity, and this time you took advantage of it? You said, you know what, these second chances don't happen very often. Maybe I should do this. Show of hands. Anybody? A lot of hands. Okay. Here's the third one. How many of you have ever been so tuned in to someone in your life? It could be a spouse, a friend, a neighbor, a work colleague. So tuned in or in just lockstep with them that you really enjoyed some great times or great results together. How many of you have ever experienced that? You're just so tuned in. You know, Roger mentioned Lisa and holding feet to the fire or something like that. And I have to stand here and admit, we've had 29 wonderful years of marriage. Now, we've been married almost 31, but 29 of them have been right there. They've been great. Don't tell her I said that. But we've not always agreed, and I tend to say we've never argued. We've just had times of robust dialogue. But we have just been in lockstep about so many things. And that's just critical as spouses. And we have those type of relationships as well with others. And finally, and this is a bit of a tough one, how many of you have ever decided that this friendship or experience or work, whatever it is really not worth the effort? So I'm ending it. I'm just not giving my all anymore. Anybody ever? Yeah, we tend to have that. And it's maybe because the fruits of our labor, they're just not producing what we really wanted. Well, tonight we're going to explore all four of these questions. And we're going to see it happen to someone else, and maybe learn from this person. Perhaps we're going to be challenged a little bit. But before we dive in, I want to address something else, and I really want to strongly preface this for tonight. And whether it's this group or whether it was a group of 500, I would do the same thing because of things that I've seen around, not anywhere specifically, but just listening to people my son's age, listening to people my age, our age, listening and seeing this, and it's like, okay, need to address some things. And we have to do it as we go in. So I've got another question for you. This is a bit of a quiz. Who are these guys? Now, these are some famous people. I'm sure you're going to know who they are. Okay? So here's the first couple. Shamuel and Shaphat. You guys know who these are. All right, okay. How about Igal and Palti? I'm so disappointed. You know who these are. I was sure you'd get these. Gadiel and Gada? All right, two more. How about Amiel and Sether? How about Nabi and Gil? You don't know them. Well, there's a couple more. Let me throw another one up. How many know Joshua? How many know Caleb? Those are the 12 spies. I thought you memorized them all. You go back in Numbers 13, 14, and everywhere. There's your spies. I thought we were Bible people. You can't remember them? Neither can I without a little bit of help. Why do I mention this? I've got stars by that last one, Caleb. And Caleb is who I'm using to really preface tonight. And as I said, you know, kind of at the how or the why, I've heard the following many times, and I bet you have too. I'm too busy. Or I've heard from my kid, I'm too young to do that, Dad. I've heard from others, I'm too old. I think we need to take a look at Joshua 14. And this isn't our main text, but we're going to get there. But I want us to go over to Joshua chapter 14. And we see this in verse 6 of Joshua 14. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years." He's 85 now. "Ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." 85, and he's saying, "I'm ready for war. I don't know that I'll be able to do that. Now therefore, give me this mountain." Oh, I don't want a little ranch. I want a mountain. I want the hill country, "of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." I mean, he wanted to fight. He was tireless. "And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day." Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. The key here, he wholly followed. So none of us are too busy, too young, or too old to wholly follow. And I want that to be a challenge. Maybe it's just for me. I don't make a lot of New Year's resolutions. I think the last one I made was not to make any more. And I've pretty well held to that. Not that there's anything wrong with them. But every year as I enter a new year, it's like, okay, what could I do? I go through a little process called more, better, different, or less. It's like, what could I do a little more of? What could I do better? What could I maybe do a little different? What could I do less? Now, if I were to pose those same things to my wife, I might have a list I don't want. Just like the other night, she said, hey, I want to do a quiz with you. I was just relaxing. It's 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and we're sitting there. She's doing some reading. I'm doing some reading. I said, where's this from? She said, well, I'm on Facebook, and there's this quiz. I'm like, oh, Facebook, the gossip column of America. And I don't really care what people just ate. Here we are out to dinner having lamb chops. Good for you. I'm not a lamb chop person, and I hope you enjoy your meal, but you don't have to tell me about it. I don't tell you. But anyway. And it was these nine questions. And the very first question, I said, do we have to do it? She goes, yeah, come on, play along. I said, okay. First question. And these were questions she were asking about herself. That was the idea. First question, what do I do that annoys you? And I said, doing stupid quizzes from Facebook. It went downhill from there. But as we enter a new year, this little phrase came to me the other day, and it's corny as the day is long, and I wrote it down. But it's a new year. We're all here. God is near. Make it clear. Work till we're there, or He's here. Amen? Now, with all that as an introduction, and I promise we'll go fast, and being reminded of these four questions right here, we're going to look at Jonah. We're going to look at Jonah. So go to Jonah. And we're not going to spend time reading all 48 verses, but we're not going to talk about the whale a whole lot. But we are going to talk about Jonah, because I think Jonah really lines up with these questions that we asked. And we see some things from him that may be appropriate and may apply to us. And here's how we're going to handle them. You know, as we think about these four questions, we get to a point that we say, how's our life really going? When I think about that more, better, different, or less, I have to really think about this. So tonight, we're going to approach, and I tell a lot of groups this, I tell my class this every now and then, as we start maybe a new series or something, you can teach or preach, you can be educational, you can be evangelistic, or you can take a devotional approach. So tonight it's more devotional with a couple of other things sprinkled in. And I don't need anybody leaving here saying, Greg believes in sprinkling. I didn't say that, okay? But see, that's how Facebook works, just so you know. But let's go to Jonah chapter 1, and we know a lot about Jonah. And just as a reminder with some of the background, he was a prophet to the 10 northern tribes. He was a prophet to the 10 northern tribes just ahead of Amos. And this nation, they were at peace. They were prosperous. Things were going great. The market was taking off. Their 401ks were spectacular. Everything was going well. But spiritually, they weren't prosperous. They were impossible.